attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast. Tune into The Drive 3 until 6 p.m. weekdays on the Sports Hub.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Williamson has signed a multi-year deal with the Jordan brand that is worth 7 years, $75 million. So we knew about the Jordan brand partnership, we just didn't know about the financials. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but again, sources telling Forbes, 7 years, $75 million. So now that Michael Jordan has landed a huge endorsement deal, in addition to Zion Williamson, he's landed in recent years Michigan football, North Carolina basketball and football, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, among others. Is it time for Hornets fans to expect him to land stars? And even if it's not landing stars, at least getting in the room with some of these guys? Listen to this quote from Zion Williamson. Zion told ESPN this: "I felt incredibly blessed to be a part of the Jordan brand family. Since I was a kid, I dreamed of making it to the league and having the type of impact on the game Michael Jordan had and continues to have today. He was one of those special athletes I looked up to," end quote. How many guys do you think feel the same way Zion Williamson does there? Looks up to Michael Jordan. Wouldn't you like to play for Michael Jordan's team? Wouldn't you like to be in the room with Michael Jordan? You'd think that, right? But I can't even think what the biggest visit a free agent's had to Charlotte in MJ's tenure. Or maybe even ever. They almost had Gordon Hayward visit, I think. Aside from that, who? Nobody. I don't think it's unfair to expect MJ to do what Pat Riley has done. Miami isn't Los Angeles. It isn't New York. Yes, you don't have to pay state income tax. That's fine, and they have beaches over there. But we have beaches and mountains, mother bleeper. We've got a great state ourselves and the ninth most populous city in the country and the greatest basketball player of all time running this organization. So you're telling me the cash-strapped Miami Heat can get visits with top players? Jimmy Butler will go out of his way to want to go to Miami. Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, these players, even though they never went, said publicly they want to be part of the Miami Heat. Heck, Kevin Durant, even before he chose Golden State, he met with Pat Riley. Magic Johnson, he had no interest in doing the evaluating of talent overseas and doing all the little things it takes to be a great director of basketball operations for an NBA team. He even said it himself. "I want to go back to being Magic Johnson. I want to continue tweeting, doing all that stuff." He wants to be where MJ's at. He wants to sit courtside and be the face at the very top without getting involved in the basketball stuff. But even Magic Johnson, who was out after a year or two, even Magic Johnson landed LeBron James, got meetings with players, players saying they wanted to be there. Now, I know that's Los Angeles, but that's Magic Johnson, and this is Michael Jordan. This is MJ. You're landing Zion Williamson in this shoe deal. Now start getting meetings with players. It almost seems like MJ is more interested, and it's more beneficial to MJ that he gets partnerships and deals with the athletes through Jordan brand than getting them to play for the Charlotte Hornets. It almost seems that way. We heard the rumors. Part of the reason they didn't trade Kemba Walker at the All-Star break was because they wanted him to be around for all the All-Star festivities. Wanted him to be around during this time. Jordan brand doing things in Charlotte, and it was Michael Jordan's big weekend. He wanted Kemba Walker to be there for that type of stuff. Am I wrong? Would it be reckless for me to allege that Michael Jordan's priorities might not be in this order: Charlotte Hornets, Jordan brand? that it might be the other way around. Yes, Dev?
No, I don't think you're out of line mentioning that, because I've wondered this out loud for the past 7 or 8 years, how he's able to do this. Because if you grew up watching Michael Jordan, the number one thing that comes to your mind when you think of him is that he is the ultimate competitor.
I'm going to rip your throat out when I play you.
Right.
That's MJ.
Kobe's the closest person I can think of to even got, and he even get to the same level as Mike. Michael Jordan would fight you over a game of cards. So for him to just be so lackadaisical about the makeup of the Hornets and
never
what they're
paying
doing,
the luxury tax.
Yeah, they just don't want to spend. And it's really weird. It doesn't really line up with what we know from watching Michael Jordan the past 40 plus years for him not to be as competitive with this. You know that they were competitive against Adidas, Under Armour, New Balance, whoever was trying to get Zion services, shoe deals in China. I mean, you know that they put in a deal for him.
Michael Jordan got a win this week, a massive win. Now start doing it with your basketball team. That's, if I'm a Hornets fan, that's what I'm thinking right here. In addition to that, Michael Jordan actually had a quote in this, talking about Zion. Zion's incredible determination, character, and play are inspiring. He's an essential part of the new talent that will help lead the brand into the future. He told us he would shock the world and asked us to believe in him. We do. End quote. Later on, Sonny Vaccaro was the centerpiece of the Soul Man 30 for 30 documentary. The proliferation of shoe deals in college basketball, how shoe executives became so involved in basketball. Sonny Vaccaro has been really the grassroots sneaker guru of all gurus. And he was talking about Zion's contract, and he said something I just flatly disagree with. He said the fact that Zion was drafted in New Orleans cost him money. Quote, I would have guaranteed $100 million if he would have been in New York or Los Angeles. There's a difference in cities. There's no question about that. I think that's nonsense. Playing in New Orleans did not cost Zion endorsement dollars. In basketball, the player's brand is stronger than the franchises. When you watch the TV commercials, it's never the Rockets versus the Lakers. It's James Harden versus LeBron James. That's the way it's always been, or at least especially the last 10 years during the player empowerment decade. In football, it's different. In many other sports, it's different. Dak Prescott, he's probably a bigger star than Matthew Stafford, than Phillip Rivers, than Matt Ryan. You could argue than Cam Newton. But he's not better than any of those quarterbacks. He just has the star on the side of his helmet. He plays in Dallas. That means something. In basketball, not so much. The biggest stars in the sport, the biggest star, aside from last year, essentially the last 2 decades, played most of his time in Cleveland, Ohio, and in Miami. Right? No one thought he was losing endorsement opportunities in Cleveland, even though he was in Cleveland. Then he was in Miami. Kevin Durant before going to Brooklyn, Oklahoma City, and Oakland. Oh, but Oakland's booming. Oakland is the tech. It's Silicon Valley. It's the center of tech and yada, yada, yada. Sonny Vaccaro didn't mention Silicon Valley. He mentioned Los Angeles and New York City. He would be making much more if he were in those cities. James Harden, one of the biggest, most marketable stars in the NBA. Playing in Houston. Playing in Oklahoma City. Steph Curry playing in Oakland. It doesn't matter as much. Yes, Dave.
Well, the world is smaller now, you know, with social media and all of us being connected. 15, 20 years ago, yeah, maybe it did matter to be in LA or Chicago or Boston or whatever. But now, I mean, just using your example, Aaron Rodgers is probably maybe the second most recognizable football player on earth beside Tom Brady, and he plays in the smallest market in the NFL in Green Bay. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are
if
anymore.
If it's not Aaron Rodgers, it's Drew Brees, who just so happens to be in the same damn town as Zion Williamson.
There you go.
336-777-1600 on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad. Let's go to Shane in Kernersville. Shane, you're on the Sports Hub. What do you got on MJ?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. As soon as I saw that Jordan Brand had signed him, the first thing I thought of was, gosh, you can get him for Jordan Brand, but we can't get Jack down in Charlotte to play. That is, it seems to me that MJ has lost his basketball system.
Thank you so much for the call, Shane. training camp started for the Carolina Panthers. A lot of people seem to be concerned about Cam Newton's shoulder and the secondary. I wouldn't be that concerned about it. Right now, I'm not. Oh, but it's a second surgery on that shoulder since 2017. It's just like 2017 all over again. No, it isn't. This surgery, we had sports orthopedist Dr. David Geyer on the show not too long ago. It's not as substantial as the surgery he had in 2017, the one Cam had in January. Oh, yeah, and it was in January versus the 2017 surgery, which was in March, which means the surgery was less substantial, and he's had more time to rest it. He's thrown sooner. He's been throwing since April. And even if it was like 2017, here's what Panther fans are forgetting here. The Carolina Panthers went 11-5 in 2017. Cam threw for over 3,000 yards. The Panthers were winning football games last year while Cam's shoulder was sore. We saw that after the Philadelphia Eagles game on All or Nothing, the Amazon series. Cam had a massive wrap on his shoulder, and you thought that would be the point things went downhill. It wasn't. They creamed the Baltimore Ravens, who had the top defense in the NFL at that point. Beat them. They went on to win the AFC North. Beat them, and then beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers badly. And yes, they had a massive losing streak down the stretch, but one bounce, and you beat Cleveland. A couple of inches, you beat the Redskins. Cam Newton barely overthrowing Jarius Wright against the Lions. So while you had the losing streak, let's not act like you weren't close. Let's not act like Cam Newton wasn't giving you a chance. He had MVP-like numbers at 6-2 with a bum shoulder. And even if it was like 2017, which it isn't, Cam threw for over 3,000 yards in that season, and Carolina went 11-5. You are listening to WSJS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals make up the Triad Sports Hub.
Let's begin.
Let's talk about it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920.
It really is an exciting day. The Carolina Panthers reporting to training camp, Spartanburg, South Carolina, on the campus of Wofford College. It means summer is almost over and football is almost here. Let's go out to Spartanburg, where we're being joined by the voice of the Carolina Panthers, our good friend Mick Mixon. Mick, I understand you are in Spartanburg right now. Paint me the picture.
Okay, I will, but who among us hasn't tried to get that Johnny B. Goode intro lick under our fingers on a guitar of some sort? Very cool. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
I'm talking to you now from the Gibbs Stadium press box. There's some thumping music going on the PA. Nothing happening on this field right now. The practice sessions will begin tomorrow with a welcome Panthers party here at Gibbs Stadium. Your humble correspondent arrived earlier this morning, checked into my dorm room, 109 Lassane. Got everything, the minimum security feel to it, got the bed, my bed and the pillow and the maker and the picture of my wife and, you know, all the things you got to bring, like I tell you every year. And, Josh, the weather here is fantastic. I mean, you know it'll get hot, but there's a cold wave. Same thing you guys are probably feeling there in the Triad, a little lower humidity. It's in the upstate of South Carolina, too, and the players are thrilled by the slight little break in the heat and humidity.
The player who's probably of most interest is Cam Newton, and specifically his right shoulder. But let's take a break from talking about Cam, because there are some other players I don't think fans are that specifically knowledgeable about, at least not yet. One of those players, the guy who's slotted to line up across from Eric Reed, that being second-year safety Rashawn Golden out of Tennessee. What do coaches see in him?
A lot of improvement from his rookie year. He's 6'1", 200, so he's leaner, definitely longer and leaner than Reed. You know, Reed is a little bit more robust of build, but the coaches really like the steps that Golden has made in terms of, you know, it's cliche, but I don't know a better way to say it, of the way the coaches say it and the players in their nomenclature, that the game slows down for you at some point. You're less just out there in panic mode trying to survive and more playing intuitively, freely with your instincts, a la Lou Kuechly, whose film study is legendary. He's trying to export that, and I think Golden has bought in. I think the best could be yet to be for this young man. What do you think?
With the secondary, Mick, I just think that there comes a time where you have to trust your scouting, you have to trust your coaches, trust the development that they instill or that they build in some of these players. I think fans are concerned with the secondary because they don't know many of these names. They haven't seen them out on the field yet. They knew Mike Adams. They knew Captain Munnerlyn. But if the track record tells us anything about the way the Panthers have drafted specifically in the secondary, I think we should give Golden and Corn Elder the benefit of the doubt, and more importantly, the scouting staff at the Panthers. Don't you think so?
I guess. I mean, that sounds good, and I'd love to agree with the premise of your question, but we both know how brutal the National Football League is. Nobody gets the benefit of any kind of doubt for very long, especially in the back end of an NFL defense. You got to be able to run. You cannot hunt interceptions at the risk of defensive integrity. I'm just thinking about other DBs, too, as you talk about it. Josh, Kevon Seymour, what about this young man? Could the time be now for Cole Luke, 24-year-old from Notre Dame? He's kind of one that I kind of got on my little personal just watch list, thinking that, okay, if he's going to be an NFL somebody, now is the time for him, and the Panthers desperately need what he could bring to the secondary. What about Ross Cockrell, 27-year-old Duke University graduate from Charlotte? Could he stay healthy and contribute? I think there'll be a lot of questions, particularly at safety this year for the Carolina Panthers. It should be an interesting story to watch.
What about second-round rookie tackle Greg Little?
Isn't it interesting that Greg Little is named Little? Because little he is not. He's a huge man, a lot like Taylor Moten. And he's introspective, he's quiet, but yet he does talk. And when he talks, he says things. He's, for those who do not know, rookie out of Mississippi from Allen, Texas, second-round draft choice of the Panthers. And he won't have much of a chance to get the break-in period. He'll be expected to come out very quickly here and show everybody why he was a second-round pick.
The voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon, with us here on the Sports Hub, heavily featured in the Amazon series All or Nothing. Have you had a chance to watch it?
I've seen 2 of the 8 episodes. We had a premiere party that my wife and I went to uptown, and I wasn't expecting much. I just thought, okay, this will be sort of a staff event, and there'll be a cash bar, and we'll watch a few episodes and go home. But oh my gosh, there's a red carpet. There's Cam Newton. There's Lou Kuechly, Christian McCaffrey. A good selection of players. There's David Tepper was there. The producer of the series was there. There was a Q&A afterward with Shannon Spake, the former NASCAR NFL reporter who did a fine job with it overall. And I saw Cam a couple hours ago at lunch, and he was wearing this. He had no shirt on. He had a white jumpsuit, kind of a, I told David Glenn a little bit ago, sort of a Run DMC looking sort of jumpsuit on. Only Cam could do this kind of thing, showing off all this cinnamon skin and it's just yet another reminder of how unfair genetics is. But I said, Cam, what'd you think of All or Nothing? And he got that big old megawatt smile, and he said, man, you know, Mick, I liked it, but I gave everybody a great insight, fans a great insight into kind of what we do and how we do it, but I'm still trying to get over my language. And isn't that interesting? Because there's a lot of bad language in the version we saw. There's a clean version that will be a lot of things blipped out. But it's real. It's raw, Josh. It's the league. I mean, it's these guys get out there and they become different. They throw a switch, and they become different kinds of animals out there, you know, a different species in a way.
Luke Kuechly, by the way, said that it was a voiceover that was dropping all those F-bombs. It wasn't him.
Isn't Kuechly great? He guards his image carefully, but yet he'll You know, he'll also, he does it in an honest way, lets you know that this is you know, he doesn't really apologize for it, but then in a way he kind of does. Have you seen much of it yet?
I watched the entire thing, and I had to, because a lot of people were bugging me. In addition to seeing a lot of Mick Mixon, there's a few instances where my mug gets into the camera shot, and I just want to apologize to Jeff Bezos and all the folks at Amazon for that.
Well, I look forward to seeing that. I don't think you see me, but I think you hear some
a lot of
the radio calls.
A lot of Mick Mixon we hear. And since we started with Johnny B. Goode, I got to know, and you mentioned your wife, you got the photo there in your living quarters at Wofford College. What's the go-to song on the guitar you play to impress?
I don't play the guitar very well. I like working on electric guitar. I got fascinated years ago with this idea of setup of an electric guitar. Several decorated guitar players that I was in bands with, awesome players, monster players, but had no idea how to set the action, nothing about neck relief. They didn't really know about pickup height. And I thought, how can this be? How can you have this command over this instrument yet not know how it works? So I got interested in working on guitars, and then, you know, taught myself a few chords, a few scales. I like blues guitar. Steve Logan's probably a lot better guitar player than me. But I don't know, just a little 12-bar blues. I could probably get through a little 12-bar blues in either E or A for you right now and not embarrass myself too much.
Well, I'll close with this, Mick. I'm not big into anniversaries or birthdays, any of that, but today marks the one-year anniversary of this show being on the air on the Sports Hub. But I remember I was scrambling at around this time a year ago, where I learned I had to do essentially a two-hour on-air job interview in a studio I never been in before, with people I never worked with before, and Mick Mixon was able to pick the phone up, and who knows, Mick, it might have been the reason I got the job that day. So I appreciate that.
No, I'm surprised you got the gig after that. I'm sure they thought, if this is the best he's got on his Rolodex, we got to move on, look for someone else. But I'm proud of you, young man. I think you're doing great, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as I know people enjoy you keeping them some company on your show.
Enjoy Wofford College. Thanks for doing this, Mick.
Okay, Josh, thanks for the visit, man.
You got it. That's Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, spending a little bit of time with us. No, it really was a scramble-like situation. Like, imagine you have a job interview, but you're like 2 hours away for it, and you get told, hey, you got to be here at 6 o'clock, and oh yeah, maybe a few hundred people are going to be listening in on it, and they will know, at least your loved ones who might be tuned in, that this is a job interview essentially for you on the air. Very public way that it happens. So I just make a few phone calls, and fortunately, Ed Hardin at the News and Record and Mick Mixon pick up their phone, and we did that day, where a few hours notice, without a shower, without any clue what I was going to talk about, middle of the summer, here we are. So thank goodness for Mick Mixon. That's what I got to say, Des.
I remember that day because I was actually on vacation and listening, driving back from Wilmington.
Do you want to admit your first thought?
Do you want me to admit my first thought?
Sure. You didn't think I could do it.
I wasn't sure. My very, very first thought, and I'm so glad you don't do this anymore as much as you were that first time. And he's probably rattled and nervous and everything else. But throughout that first show, you rattled paper into the microphone like literally every 10 minutes. And it was driving me nuts in the car. I was like, who is this guy they've got in the studio right now? Little did I know, I ended up spending the next year of my life with you and putting out quality sports entertainment.
Quite the radio marriage. Could the best North Carolina bred baseball player currently be in the bigs? That's where we'll begin sharing with Darren Vaught next.
Listen up, everybody.
There has been a lot of talk.
This is the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
It's time for our weekly top 10 list. It's our one-year anniversary. I'm not big into celebrating things, so why not just do a top 10 list around it? We don't have any desserts here to celebrate. Darren Vaught's hanging out here, sharing with Darren. So I figured I'd come up with a list of desserts you should have brought here. My top 10 desserts. It's very fun to play along. Dez isn't good with the wordplay. Aaron has gotten very good at this. He tries to guess what's on the list. And it sounds like Darren, who hates this segment, feels like he can do what I do as well as I can. Did I hear that right? About 20 minutes ago that you said that?
It's absolutely true. Here's how I envision this segment going. So I played basketball in high school and went to a high school that is a perennial state contender in the sport of wrestling. So we had a wrestling coach who would claim he would poach athletes from the basketball team to join his wrestling team and turn them into state champions. And I remember specifically in gym class one day, I was shooting basketball. He walks in. His name was Coach Boyd. He says, "Darren, let me show you how easy this game is." And he takes the ball from me, unsuspecting looking guy. He doesn't look like a hooper, right? Walks up, doesn't dribble with the ball in his hand, walks up to the top of the key, fires up a three, drills it nothing but net. He's like, "That's how easy this game is." So, like, that was in an effort to prove that wrestling is more complicated or whatever.
Okay, so do you
have... It's a great moment, so that's what I'm going to do.
Do you have things written down that you think might be on this list?
I don't have 10, but I've got a list here.
So we'll see if you do a better job than what I have here. Top 10 desserts. It also is worth debating whether or not candy serves as a dessert. Is dessert strictly cakes, pies, and pastries? Or does candy qualify for dessert?
Yeah, candy works.
See, I don't have any candies in here.
No, I don't have it. I don't consider it. I would opt to go more dessert, like baked goods, things like that.
Are Reese's Pieces, are they a candy or a dessert or both?
I think that's a candy. I look at a dessert as something you serve on a plate. Something you eat after a meal.
Does it have to be on a plate? It
doesn't have to be on a plate.
Seems kind of obscure.
Something that can be served on a plate. How about that?
Cupcake's not on a plate.
But it could be.
A donut.
Well, you could put Hershey bar on a plate,
yeah, you could put Reese's Pieces on a plate.
After a meal. Like, does it make sense to put a Hershey bar on a plate after a meal? No. You're just eccentric at that
point. It's about the presentation.
Hit everybody's favorite music.
Garnish it.
That accents the top 10 list.
There.
Top 10 desserts.
I still contend this music just doesn't fit.
Number 10. My number 10 dessert. Quinn cookies. That's going to be interesting to see how Quinn cookies fits in with LeBron and Anthony Davis in Los Angeles. Don't you think so, Darren?
Sure.
Number 9. My number 9 dessert. Trey Boston cream pies.
Okay. All right. That's not bad. Not bad.
God. Panther fans hated Trey Boston. Even the Tar Heel fans, who also doubled as Panther fans, didn't care for Trey Boston that much. Number 8. My number 8 dessert. Drag bunt cake.
All right. Bunting is stupid.
What about bunt cake?
It's just cake delicious. In a different shape.
But a drag bunt cake.
No, not here for it. Unless it's an Ichiro specifically drag bunt cake. Not here for it.
Number 7. Wait, my number 7 dessert. Coco Crisp.
If this was top 10 cereals, that one makes sense. Might have gotten a laugh. I love Cocoa Crisp. Love Cocoa Crispies.
You can put Cocoa Crisp on a plate. Number 6. My number 6 dessert. Chocolate Chip Kelly. Woo!
Chocolate Chip Kelly. Is he employed right now?
Yes, he's been at UCLA.
That's right.
Not it did seem like a bit of a 2010 joke, but that's okay.
Number five! My number five dessert, Thai cobbler.
That's second on my list. Damn it. I got one.
Thai cobbler.
That's a way back tiger.
Yeah. It's a very racist cobbler. Number four! Yeah. My number four dessert, Stanley cupcakes.
That's better than my cupcakes. That's a way better than my cupcakes answer. I had Cooper cupcakes.
I also had Cooper cupcake written down, but it's not on the list. Number three. My number three dessert. Tira Masu bird.
That's in. I got that one.
You got Tira Masu bird.
I did not expect that. I had Tira Masu bird.
Wow. Wow.
The legend. The legend, Tira Masu bird, who's been in the news as Megan Rapinoe's better half. Tira Masu bird.
That's fantastic. That is the last one I expected to match you with.
Number two. My number two dessert. Robinson cannoli.
Okay, that's good. And topical.
You already know.
He hit three bombs last night. That's topical. That's good.
Yeah. Take the gun. Leave the Robinson cannolis. Number one. My number one dessert.
Damn, that's good. That may be your best answer for any of these ever.
Until now. My number one dessert, Ice Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay. God, you've outdone yourself. There were a couple of really good ones in there. Man.
Ice Kareem Abdul-Jabbar doesn't
he
get
didn't even
sound,
get a sounder
no
for
nothing.
That. Des, what the hell?
Megan Rapinoe.
Thank
there it
you.
Is. There it is.
Hey, FIFA president, whatever your name is, who is Tira Masu Bird's girlfriend?
Megan Rapinoe.
Thank you. I was wondering. David tweets in. Cleveland Brownie Sunday.
I mean, it would have worked. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised had you said something like that, but it's just like, meh.
Meadowlark Lemon Pie.
Ooh, there you go. I prefer Meadowlark Lemon Bars.
Ah. How about a Bruno Mars bar?
Again, it's candy. I'm not going to use that as dessert.
Okay, what
I mean,
else?
That's
what
a
else
fine
do you
answer.
Have? Give me something that I missed.
How about national champion Braxton Key Lime Pie?
Ah, that's good.
Tournaments.
Braxton Key Lime Pie.
That was a strong list.
For a long time, I thought it was Key Lime Pie. I didn't know there was the lime there. I thought for some reason it was L-I-N-E. No idea why.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Even though you tasted
time.
Lime in
the
it?
The whole thing is lime.
It's garnished with a lime.
There's a lime slice. In most
only
capacities that you get a key lime
I told
pie.
You this in, I told you this in confidence. I'm not proud.
All right, I got a few more that I think you're going to like.
All right, fire away.
Cameron Fig Newtons.
Nice.
Tournaments.
Actually kind of surprised you didn't
a
have
Fig
that one.
Fig Newton is a dessert?
It's a cookie.
Continue. Keep going.
It's a pastry. It's fancy.
How about another way back tiger? Yvonne Fudge Rodriguez.
That's too easy, isn't it?
That's the point, Des. This entire damn segment is too easy.
Nah.
Fudge to Pudge, or Pudge to Fudge.
There was
Come
no
on.
Thought required. That's his nickname, isn't
all right.
it?
All right.
Really
I'm going to tap into Josh's. I'm going to tap into Josh's East Carolina University roots here.
All right.
Legendary baseball coach Keith Eclair.
That's excellent. That's really good. Pirate Tournament. Fans will appreciate that one very much. Darren, thanks for being here, buddy.
Always a pleasure. I'll see you guys.
That's Darren Vaught on Twitter at Darren Vaught. And caps another Sharon sesh. Up next, why Zion's sneaker deal that he signed yesterday should enrage Charlotte Hornets fans. Keep it here on the Drive.
Listen up, everybody.
There has been a lot of talk.
This is the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to the Drive with Josh Graham.
It's time for our weekly top 10 list. it's our one-year anniversary. I'm not big into celebrating things, so why not just do a top 10 list around it? We don't have any desserts here to celebrate. Darren Vaught's hanging out here, sharing with Darren. So I figured I'd come up with a list of desserts you should have brought here. My top 10 desserts. It's very fun to play along. Dez isn't good with the wordplay. Aaron has gotten very good at this. He tries to guess what's on the list. And it sounds like Darren, who hates this segment vehemently, feels like he can do what I do as well as I can. Did
That's
I hear that right?
Absolutely true.
About
absolutely
20 years ago true. Or 20 minutes ago that you said
it's,
that?
It's absolutely true. Here's how I envision this segment going. So I played basketball in high school and went to a high school that is a perennial state contender in the sport of wrestling. So we had a wrestling coach who would claim he would poach athletes from the basketball team to join his wrestling team and turn them into state champions. And I remember specifically in gym class one day, I was shooting basketball. He walks in. His name was Coach Boyd. He says, "Darren, let me show you how easy this game is." And he takes the ball from me, unsuspecting looking guy. He doesn't look like a hooper, right? Walks up, doesn't dribble with the ball in his hand, walks up to the top of the key, fires up a three, drills it nothing but net. He's like, "That's how easy this game is." So, like, that was in an effort to prove that wrestling is more complicated or whatever.
Okay, so do you
it's
have...
It's a great moment, so that's what I'm going to do.
Do you have things written down that you think might be on this list?
I don't have 10, but I've got some... Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I've got a list
right.
here.
So we'll see if you do a better job than what I have here. Top 10 desserts. It also is worth debating whether or not candy serves as a dessert. Is dessert strictly cakes, pies, and pastries? Or no. Does candy qualify for dessert?
Yeah, candy works.
See, I don't have any candies in here.
No, I don't have it. I don't consider it. I would opt to go more dessert, like baked goods, things like that.
Are Reese's Pieces, are they a candy or a dessert or both?
I think that's a candy. I look at a dessert as something you serve on a plate. Something you eat after a meal.
Does it have to be on a plate?
It doesn't have to be on a plate.
Seems
well,
kind
you know,
of obscure.
Something that can be served on a plate. How about that?
Cupcake's not on a plate.
But it could be.
A donut.
Well, you could put a Hershey bar on a plate,
yeah,
too.
You could put Reese's Pieces on a plate.
After a meal. Like, does it make sense to put a Hershey's bar on a plate after a meal? No. You're just eccentric at that point.
It's about the presentation.
Hit everybody's favorite music.
Garnish it.
That accents the top 10 list.
Okay in there?
Top 10 desserts!
I still contend this music just doesn't fit.
Number 10! My number 10 dessert! Quinn cookies? That's going to be interesting to see how Quinn cookies fits in with LeBron and Anthony Davis in Los Angeles. Don't you think so, Darren?
Sure.
Number 9! My number 9 dessert! Trey Boston cream pies.
Okay. All right. That's not bad.
No!
Not bad.
God. Panther fans hated Trey Boston. Even the Tar Heel fans, who also doubled as Panther fans, didn't care for Trey Boston that much. Number 8. My number 8 dessert. Drag Bundt Cake.
All right. Bunting is stupid.
What about bunt cake?
It's just cake in a different shape.
But a drag bunt cake.
No, not here for it. Unless it's an Ichiro specifically drag bunt cake. Not here for it.
Number 7.
Wait,
my number 7 dessert. Cocoa Crisp.
If this was top 10 cereals, that one makes sense. Might have gotten a laugh. I love Cocoa Crisp. Love Cocoa Crispies.
You can put Cocoa Crisp on a plate. Number 6. My number 6 dessert. Chocolate Chip Kelly.
Woo! Chocolate Chip Kelly. Is he employed right now?
Yes, he's been at UCLA.
That's right.
Not it did seem like a bit of a 2010 joke, but that's okay.
Number five! My number five dessert, Thai cobbler.
That's second on my list. Damn it. I got one.
Thai cobbler.
That's a way back tiger.
Yeah. It's a very racist cobbler. Number four! My number four dessert, Stanley cupcakes.
That's better than my cupcakes. That's a way better than my cupcakes answer. I had Cooper cupcakes.
I also had Cooper cupcake written down, but it's not on the list. Number three! My number three dessert. Tiramisu bird.
That's in! I got that one!
You got tiramisu bird.
I did not expect that. I had tiramisu bird.
Wow. Wow.
The legend, tiramisu bird, who's been in the news as Megan Rapinoe's better half. Tiramisu bird.
That's fantastic. That is the last one I expected to match you with.
Number two. My number two dessert. Robinson cannoli.
Okay, that's good. And topical.
Yeah, you already know.
He hit three bombs last night. That's topical. That's good.
Yeah. Take the gun. Leave the Robinson cannolis. Number one. My number one dessert.
Damn, that's good. That may be your best answer for any of these ever.
Until now. My number one dessert, Ice Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay. God, you've outdone yourself. There were a couple of really good ones in there. Man.
Ice Kareem Abdul-Jabbar doesn't
get a sounder. He didn't even get a sounder for
nothing.
That. Des, what the hell?
Megan Rapinoe.
Thank you.
There it is.
Hey, FIFA president, whatever your name is. Who is Tiramisu Bird's girlfriend?
Megan Rapinoe.
Thank you. I was wondering. David tweets in. Cleveland Brownie Sunday.
I mean, it would have worked. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised had you said something like that, but it's just like, meh.
Meadowlark Lemon Pie.
Ooh, there you go. I prefer Meadowlark Lemon Bars.
Ah. How about a Bruno Mars bar?
Again, it's candy. I'm not going to use that as dessert.
Okay, what else?
I mean, that's a fine answer.
Give me something that I missed.
How about national champion Braxton Key Lime Pie?
Ah, that's good.
Tournaments.
Braxton Key Lime Pie.
That was a strong list.
For a long time, I thought it was Key Lime Pie. I didn't know there was the lime there. I thought for some reason it was L-I-N-E. No idea why.
That doesn't make any sense.
Even though you tasted lime in it?
The whole thing is lime.
It's garnished with a lime.
There's a lime slice. In most
only
capacities that you get a key lime pie.
I told you this in confidence. I'm not proud.
All right, I got a few more that I think you're going to like.
All right, fire away.
Cameron Fig Newtons.
Nice.
Tournaments.
Actually kind of surprised you didn't
a
have
Fig
that one.
Fig Newton is a dessert?
It's a cookie.
Continue.
Yeah, I guess.
Keep going.
It's a pastry. It's fancy.
How about another way back tiger? Yvonne Fudge Rodriguez.
That's too easy, isn't it?
That's the point, Des. This entire damn segment is too easy.
Nah.
Fudge to Pudge, or Pudge to Fudge.
There was
Come
no
on.
Thought required. That's his nickname, isn't
all right.
it?
All right.
Really
I'm going to tap into Josh's. I'm going to tap into Josh's East Carolina University roots here.
All right.
Legendary baseball coach Keith Eclair.
That's excellent. That's really good. Pirate fans will appreciate that one very much. Darren, thanks for being here, buddy.
Always a pleasure. I'll see you guys.
That's Darren Vaught on Twitter at Darren Vaught. And caps another Sharon sesh. Up next, why Zion's sneaker deal that he signed yesterday should enrage Charlotte Hornets fans. Keep it here on The Drive.
Is the Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Come on.
RJ, Zion, you guys have been raiding the dunks all season long. The reverse, the windmill, starting with you, RJ, how would you rate it out? 1 to 10.
It's 2 points.
The one he had today where he took off outside the key on the fast break, I'll give that 1 to 10. I didn't know you was going to dunk that one, bro, for real.
10?
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, let's not talk about rating dunks. Let's talk about the game.
I'm so uncomfortable right now. I didn't want to do anything for the one-year anniversary. I regret telling Desmond it was the one-year Annie of this show being on the air.
I knew it was close.
He's pulling clips that are just cringeworthy and awkward. That one you just heard came from the ACC tournament. I asked, as I've been doing all year long, or I did all year long, for RJ to rate Zion's dunks. He usually lowballs him. The Clemson reverse that he stuffed, he most noteworthy, notoriously gave it a 5. Zion got out of his chair in the locker room and said, "A 5? Yeah, bro, you didn't even do anything," was what RJ said. He gave that one a 10. Coach K didn't want to hear anything of it. Meanwhile, what you can't see because it's audio, Zion was so thrilled with the fact that RJ finally gave him a 10. He got a 10, but Coach K shut it down. And I go straight into my laptop to type what RJ and Cam did there. I didn't see. Darren Vaught was right next to me at the ACC tournament. He said, Josh, Coach K is staring a hole into your soul right now. So I went back on YouTube. I looked at the clip. That right there where he shut everything down. Surely enough, as the next reporter's asking a question, Coach K's eyes are just darting my way. And I bet you, knowing you, that's not even the last of the clips that you have here. I bet you have the other moments. I was at odds with Coach K this year.
I do have one more because you and K, I don't know why, because I have no idea how this even began, but you and him kind of had this like back and forth thing going on. He challenged you a little bit.
He challenged me. It's funny. Carolina fans call into this show and allege that I root for Duke. You honestly think I'm rooting for Duke when Coach K is spiking a volleyball verbally in my face? And this right here, I got a feeling I know what clip it is.
You should know.
Right.
This was another.
I was in the locker room. They nearly lost to Georgia Tech at home. I go to Zion and I ask, "Hey, what's happening? You were playing the 5 there." He goes, "Yeah, man, it was weird playing the 5. Like, I didn't know I was going to play the 5. I'm playing it. This was really weird." So I just brought what Zion said to Coach K, and Coach just wasn't having it.
Zion described it as very different playing at the 5 in the second half. What did you see?
We don't number our guys. Is that what he's saying?
But having him as guarding their biggest.
What do you want to name it? You can invent something right now. Just your chance. What you say right now might follow him forever. You better not say it. I'll just say that he was one of the 5 players on the court playing mostly inside and guarding their center. That's not a good name for it. But instead, that's what he did.
I'm the biggest guy.
No, see, you had something there and it didn't come out right away. So next time, if there is one. Well, I have to answer your question first.
Next time, right? If there is one.
Yeah. That was a
I'll let you know.
That was a dagger.
He says, "Well, I have to answer your question first. Next game, I'm sitting front row." He walks in, looks at me, gives me a finger gun, and goes, "Hey, you got anything for me?" Finger gun.
He threw a dagger at you.
Coach K, yeah.
It's like, eh.
What if I did? What if I came up with something brilliant?
Like some brand, like something no one's ever heard of, some name.
David Glenn heard that. He goes, "The Pentagon."
The Pentagon.
Like, he's playing like the 5, but he's a fortress. This guy's big. This is my David Glenn impression.
That's ridiculous.
Happy Monday. Happy Wednesday. Welcome into the David Glenn Show. Fortress. Pentagon. He's huge. The Pentagon. So what if I just said to K, "How about the Pentagon?" Would K know how to react? Or would he just reject it flatly? Would he just dismiss it in general, typical Coach K-like tone? How would that go if I actually gave him an answer to his question that he was asking there?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen. Hayes Permar going to join us in just a bit from Sports Channel 8. Here are the three players at Panthers training camp I think that are facing the most pressure. And it obviously starts with Cam Newton. He has the throwing shoulder that was operated on for the second time in 3 years. I'm not that terribly concerned about the shoulder. I've been very clear about that. It's not as substantial of a procedure as 2017. He actually performed pretty well with a bum shoulder for over half the year last year before it just got into a situation he couldn't play much longer. I wouldn't be that worried about Cam, even though you're hearing Ron Rivera talking about, like, it's Groundhog Day, pitch count. Pitch count for Cam Newton already at camp, the first practice being tomorrow. Rashawn Golden's the next guy. A lot of people concerned about the secondary for the Panthers. In my mind, I think it's just that time for Carolina to start relying and trusting their coaching staff, their developmental team, their scouting department, because they've given you no reason to believe they're not worth trusting. The secondary, they shed some older bodies. Mike Adams, who was starting across from Eric Reed, who signed a 3-year contract extension this offseason. Mike Adams, closer to 40 than he is 30. He was reliable, was there for a number of years. So since it's a different name filling that spot, obviously there are going to be some question marks. The player that's filling that spot is Rashawn Golden, second-year player, third-round draft pick out of Tennessee. You might remember, if you're an SEC football fan, him giving the double middle fingers, the double bird, buy one, get one free special to Alabama fans. So he has some swagger, and you could expect that from people in the secondary. But when it comes to the secondary, it's time for Carolina to play Corn Elder in the place of Captain Munowin. Captain Munowin, he wasn't too old to be re-signed. That's not why he didn't get re-signed. He's just a little pricey for a guy who's not going to be playing outside because you have Dante Jackson and James Bradbury. He'd be playing nickel for you. So Corn Elder has been here for 2 years already. This is going to be his third year. It's time for him to step in. And if not him, the more experienced Kayvon Seymour, who's back from injury. And with Golden, that's a third-round draft pick. And the Panthers scouting department, especially with that position, has done an excellent job since Ron Rivera's arrived. I don't think anybody would dispute that. Since Rivera has arrived in Charlotte, look at all these corners who have been great for the Panthers who weren't taken in the first round. Josh Norman out of Coastal, fifth-round draft pick. The two starters right now, James Bradbury, Dante Jackson, both were second-rounders. So I wouldn't be concerned about the secondary this present moment. Then you got Greg Little. Massive dude. I'll take the words from Mick Mixon. It's just funny that this guy's last name is Little, because little he is not. Second-round pick out of Ole Miss, first-round grade for the Panthers. They felt like they got a steal trading up to get him at the beginning of the second round. They needed a starter. Carolina needs to get something out of Little and Darrell Williams. We'll see if Darrell Williams is going to be playing left guard versus right tackle the same way with Moton. Taylor Moton, who's going into his second year. Is Greg Little going to be playing left tackle right out of the gate? The Panthers really think a lot of him, and there's a chance he could be starting game one. Now, you have a little bit of depth. Guys who had to play last year, Greg Van Roten, Tyler Larson. But those are the three players that are feeling the most pressure going into training camp. Cam Newton, Rashawn Golden, and Greg Little. The Drive is brought to you in part by our friends at Twin Peaks Restaurant. Find them Haynesmaw Boulevard in Winston-Salem. Try the 29-degree draft beer that is in a 22-ounce man-sized mug. That's the way to go. It's the perfect way to watch sports as football gets near. We're going to be talking about preseason games before we know it. And the play for you is to go to Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Is Cam Newton the most polarizing North Carolina sports figure ever? We'll discuss with Sports Channel 8's Hayes Permar next.
I love talking and conversing with you.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the Sports Hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
Hayes Permore of Sports Channel 8 now joining the show. One of my favorite people, someone I'm very proud of too, because I learned recently he's going to have opportunities in Raleigh that I'm not sure he could talk about right now, so I don't know if I'm putting him in an awkward spot. At Sports Channel 8 on Twitter, this is a guy who has a radio show you can listen to on Saturdays and has a podcast too, Sports Channel 8, the radio show. Hayes Permore, it's good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Josh. I had the classic, I feel like it's a millennial moment where you hear a song that you think you know because it's the rap version of the song, and then the guy starts singing and you're like, oh wait, that's not Regulate, that's Michael McDonald doing something else. So it helps me feel young when I know the rap version better than the sampled version of the song. So I appreciate Desmond hooking me up with a little Michael McDonald there.
How often does that happen to you? Are there other songs? Because another one I think of right off the bat is Diddy's I'll Be Missing You with The Police, Every Breath You Take.
That one didn't get me. I'll admit, and this is like a shameful one to admit, I'll bare my soul on your show for Josh Graham and Desmond. I didn't know Super Freak. When I was like 13 or 14 years old, I didn't know Super Freak. So I thought MC Hammer not only was dropping bars, but had some incredible producer that had this amazing track, and I thought was totally can't touch this, and then was ashamed a couple years later when I learned, oh, Rick James had an awesome song that came a few years before that one.
Let's do an ultimate radio segue here. Cam Newton often has been labeled a super freak by many different people. He is trying to recover from a shoulder procedure for the second time in 3 years. You are someone I go to as a foremost authority on all things North Carolina sports fan. You have a great pulse on North Carolina sports fans. Is Cam the most polarizing sports figure you've seen in this state?
It's close. I mean, he's definitely up there. Obviously, the prominence of the NFL and the success of the Panthers in the Cam era have elevated him to that status. You know, and you could probably get a different answer talking to folks in Charlotte. You obviously have the off-the-court folks, like, is George Shinn more polarizing for being, you know, a terrible person as a sports owner? Even Jerry Richardson now there's questions about, and still has a statue up, and still people will love and revere him for bringing football to the state and just, you know, the way he handled himself in many aspects. But also based on, you know, more recent news, some people will vilify him. I think judging more in the, you know, what do fans think of this person when their name comes up category, the only two guys that I think may top Cam Newton, and it's more just about the status of their sports over the history of North Carolina, not necessarily in the past 15 or 20 years so much as the past 50 or 60 years, but first, Dean Smith. He was just incredibly polarizing. And again, I hate to put you in a different category as claiming as you're a young person, but you're younger. You don't quite remember the 80s where, in addition to him being revered, there were people that freaking hated Dean Smith. And more than hating Dean, they sort of hated what they thought was a double standard. I mean, Coach K himself became famous for talking about the double standard that Dean got, you know, treated by the ACC and officials or whatever it was, timing of games, all those types of things. So I think in that sense, he was very polarizing and probably had more people that loved him and would take a bullet for him than Cam Newton does. Cam Newton definitely brings out the haters and detractors. But I think earlier in my life, Dean Smith, and then later, and he's kind of gotten away from being polarizing, but Coach K, I think, still had that same thing where if you were lining up as the troops behind Coach K, obviously a guy with a military background, he knew how to sort of draw the line and say, we're going to battle, men, and join in line with me. There are plenty of folks who love Mike Krzyzewski and want to go to war with him, but then obviously just as many, and some of them were on the same side that were loving Dean Smith, that hated Mike Krzyzewski, the way he handled himself early in his career, and then just the general people who hate Duke and hate success and things. So Dean Smith, Mike Krzyzewski, I think may have Cam Newton, but as far as athletes on the field, you're tough to find somebody, because you got to rise to such a certain level to be polarizing. It's tough to find somebody bigger than Cam Newton.
Perhaps I should frame it differently. I think when you talk about Dean Smith among North Carolina fans, he's universally approved of, and Coach K the same way for Duke fans. Among Panther fans, is his approval rate is his approval rating where you'd expect it to be, or not high enough?
I know that we are, even in a year before an election year, we are all swept up into talk of approval ratings. I can't claim that I know exactly what Cam is tracking at right now, and whether it's the CNN numbers on Cam or the Fox News.
Where do you think it should be?
But your point is well taken of people who would profess to be fans of a certain team but still don't like a certain guy. Approval rating, approval is such a nebulous term, too. I approve of Cam. I wouldn't necessarily go to war for him in the way I would some other guys, you know, Julius Peppers or the Dean Smiths, Mike Krzyzewskis of the day, because he's done some dumb things, and he said some dumb things, right? He hasn't always deserved our backup. Some of the things that he's done has brought criticism, but without a doubt, when at the times where he's either criticism has been warranted, it's been way over the top, tremendously over the top, and many things are baked into that criticism rather than just whatever the incident he was. Should he have handled himself better after the Super Bowl? Probably, but did he deserve a lot of the language and the vitriol that was thrown at him because of it? Probably not. So in that sense, especially of his own fans, he is unique in that sense for people who would say, yes, I'm a fan of the team, but I still don't like that Cam Newton guy. There's not many guys who would fit that equation quite like he does.
Hayes Permar with us from Sports Channel 8, a great follow on Twitter at DHPIV, at Sports Channel 8 on Twitter as well. You're somebody, I'm going to give you a platform here to talk about things that I know you're passionate about. That is music in film, music in the theater, and you haven't seen Lion King yet, you told me before coming on. I saw Lion King last night, the live-action remake, and before the movie began, I saw the trailer for Cats with Taylor Swift and Rebel Wilson and Jennifer Hudson. I had goosebumps. I'm not afraid to admit, I was emotional watching it in a movie theater, so much so that I whispered to a complete stranger to my right in the theater saying, wow, that looks good. What's your excitement level for Cats and the Lion King?
All right. Lion King, for me, it falls under the how can you be more excited than the cartoon? I just don't understand exactly what the draw is.
Animals don't emote. Animals don't emote, Hayes. That's the problem.
I know, but
they don't emote.
But how am I going to get excited about animals that aren't emoting?
That's what I'm saying.
I can go watch Planet Earth and see these animals do a lot cooler things than sing, you know, especially with CGI. We've seen lions do cooler things and all sorts of animals. I mean, have you seen, you know, the snakes chasing the mongoose or whatever it is that gets away? I feel like live action animals can do more interesting things than just sing. As for Cats, the Cats thing struck me as interesting because on the one hand, I'm not a big Cats the musical guy. I think Andrew Lloyd Webber's a little bit overrated. He did Jesus Christ Superstar, which I think is one of the all-time greats, but Phantom and Cats were never quite my thing. It was also sort of the 80s, you know, everyone was on cocaine, big, gaudy costumes, bang, that was all a big thing. But the musical trailer that we saw for Cats seemed to mirror pretty closely to what the musical was. So if you don't like Cats the musical, I'm fine with that, and you're not going to like Cats the movie musical. But for all these people talking about it being weird and you know, inconceivable that they're going to make these actors and actresses look this way and be half cat, I'm like, that's what the musical was. They're kind of being true to the original sense. Now, obviously, we won't know until it comes out how true they are to it. But, I'm fine if you hate Cats. I'm not a big Cats fan. But I find it weird that all these people are like, what are these people doing in cat suits? Where you're like, that's exactly what the Broadway play was. And if you had that exact same question watching the Broadway play, I understand. But don't be confused now when the musical adaptation of the weird play is weird in and of itself. So I feel like The Lion King, people are working themselves up into a tizzy because Beyonce's in it. Obviously, she's a big name. I got to see it. I'll be open-minded to it. I promise I'll go in and be willing to be amused. But you know, you can't just go pluck Jonathan Taylor Thomas and make the magic that he did as the young Simba back in the day. You don't know how a star's career is going to turn out when you first cast him. So now this whole trying to go pick people that everybody will love and everybody excited to see, it feels a little bit, it's a less risky move. And that's sort of my hate on the whole remake genre in general of, like, there's no risk involved in doing Top Gun 2. There's no risk involved in doing live-action Animal King. But 30 years from now, what are we going to be doing? Just remakes of these same remakes that we made 30 years ago? I don't know, man. Well, I'm not sure where we're headed with the music industry.
Lion King didn't meet the hype. There, I said it. It just didn't. Animals don't emote, and I need that in a movie. I almost laughed when Mufasa died. And spoiler alert, Hayes, that Mufasa dies. That Simba was looking at Mufasa.
Dies?
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to learn this way. Simba was staring into his father's dead corpse, and it looked like he was being emotional, but he's a real-life action lion, and lions don't cry. And
You need that British narrator coming over the top and being like,
yes,
the young lion sees his father fallen in the fields and now decides to go get baked with his friends for a few years in the outbush and disregard his leadership that he should do. I mean, Hakuna Matata, that's got to be African for something else about blowing off your fears, right?
Whoa! That is what a hot take, Dez! That hot take!
It's Swahili for marijuana, Josh Grayley. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Hakuna Matata is like, hey, we're just, you know what? Let's just don't worry about it all right now. Just Hakuna Matata.
Guys.
We're going to laugh it up for a little while. That's what it is.
Everybody calm down. Oh, my God. Hayes just dropped the bomb on everybody here. The control room's trying to recover.
Like, this has been so obvious. I mean, Hakuna Matata, they give you a strange word that all of us, you know, people here in America, we don't know what it means. It definitely has to be some grand African language translated Hakuna Matata for marijuana. I think that's what we're talking about here.
Pretty obvious. Real.
And speaking of marijuana, and I don't mean to assume how anybody in your control room or you celebrate, but I do hear that perhaps it's time for a little celebration on the drive right now. Is that right? Are we talking about a 1-year anniversary?
Oh, come on!
Right now?
Did you throw Hayes into this?
I think we need to forget about what time the hard breaks are, forget about the advertisers who are mad that I have mentioned what the Hakuna Matata translation is, and it is time to just celebrate Hakuna Matata right now on the drive with Josh Graham.
I don't know what you're trying to do right now, but cool in the gang. That's much like riding a wave runner. It's impossible to have a frown on your face when you're on that cool in the gang celebration bump.
I actually have something here to commemorate a time when Haynes Parmar was on our show previously during the year.
Oh, God.
And we actually debuted one of his hit singles, We're in the Bubble.
We're in the bubble, season's in trouble. We're in the first four out. Don't let Lenardi ruin this party. We're far from the bubble now.
Turn it off. I'm getting emotional. Speaking of movies that have been remade four times.
I mean, I should be getting calls for the, what's a Disney movie that hasn't gotten remade yet? I was going to say Mulan, but I think they're already working on that.
Yeah, they're working on it.
They are making one for Mulan, and I don't think there's any music in it. And I don't think the plot is the same as it was 20 years ago. So I don't know how that's going
to
work.
We're going to do live action remakes, and then we're going to go back to cartoons with all these. So we're going to get a re-cartooned Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Lion King 20 years from now. So that's the bubble, excuse me. That's my audition tape for a future Lion King cartoon.
Just know, Hayes Parmar is a noted wordsmith on Twitter at DHPIV, and I don't think there's any better way to sum up what Hayes Parmar is than the sentence he gave a short while ago, that I'm not much of a Cats the Musical kind of guy. It's an incredible show.
I'm not.
Yeah. Is that Steve Smith laughing at him? Is that what that was? Yeah. I saw Pays. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime. I've been happy to join you guys over the course of the past year, and I hope I'll join you for another 20, 25, maybe even 30 years. Woo! Josh Graham, Desmond, good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Hayes.
Yeah, not trying to lock you guys in. I'm just saying I hope that your position there is comfortable as long as you want it to be.
Thank you, Hayes. On Twitter at DHPIV. What a guy.
He's a trip.
I'm excited about Cats the Musical.
Are you?
I really am. I'm not a big Cats the Musical kind of guy.
You are.
I would love to meet someone who just classifies themselves. If you're one of these people, as a Cats the Musical kind of guy, 336-777-1600, we will make room for you. Hard network breaks be damned. We'll make room for Cats the Musical kind of guys.
Hey, I'm Billy. I'm kind of a Cats Musical kind of guy.
That does remind me. I worked at, again, town of 2,400 people in Colorado. And we were playing, it was a country station, AM country station in the middle of nowhere. There were cows and turkeys and God knows what other animals you'd find on a given day. Guy calls me at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he says, and he has the biggest country drawl you can think of. He goes, listen, man, can you stop playing this crappy music? I said, I started laughing. I don't pick the music, but is there anything specific you'd like to hear? Listen here, man, I've just had myself a rough day. This is 9 o'clock in the morning. I've just had myself a rough day, and I'd really like to hear some Katy Perry right now. Okay, I'll see what I can do. Turns out, on a country format, you can't really fit Katy Perry in many places.
Where is Katy Perry?
She put out a single not too long ago. It's not good.
Ugh.
Des, what do you got in Ticket to the House?
All this talk about Cats and the Lion King and
Cats.
Everything else, I wanted to go find out how the Lion King actually did at the box office this weekend, and I'm going to break down exactly what it did. As much as you were disappointed in the movie, there was many, many people who were not.
I wasn't disappointed. It was exactly what I expected it would be.
Well, you went in with kind of lowered expectations.
My expectations were low.
Yeah. So, but there was plenty of people who apparently enjoyed it. We're going to go over the buckets of money that Disney has brought in over a 3-day stretch here off of one movie.
We take it to the house next.